Thank you for tuning in to the Radio Bible Course. We're continuing our study of the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we're in chapter 12, where the writer brings us to a man named Esau. He was a twin. His brother was Jacob. The story about them is in Genesis chapter 25. In Hebrews chapter 12, the mention of Esau comes after an important exhortation in verse 15. It says, "See to it that no one fail to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it the many become defiled, that no one be immoral or irreligious like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." Esau is given as an example to avoid. I'm reminded of a sign I saw in a mountain restaurant in Tennessee some years ago. It said, "Nobody is completely worthless. You could be valuable as a bad example." I suppose then Esau is valuable for that reason. Well, our author is referring to Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. It reads, "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished.' That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, 'First, sell me your birthright.' 'Look, I am about to die,' Esau said. 'What good is the birthright to me?' But Jacob said, 'Swear to me first.' So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright." Now, I don't think too much of Jacob here, and I think less of Esau. Jacob certainly was not a loving brother. He didn't show any grace or generosity toward his hungry brother. You would have thought he would have said, "Well, let me feed you. I'd be happy to." Oh no, not Jacob. Jacob was sneaky. You couldn't trust him. Now, as for Esau, here's a man who would do anything for physical pleasure. A man who would trade his birthright for a meal, for temporary satisfaction, is a person of confused values and a total lack of discipline. Obviously, he lived for physical satisfaction. That was his priority. Now, verse 16 refers to immorality and being irreligious. That's what it says about Esau, but Genesis does not mention immorality. However, we can conclude that if Esau would sell his most valuable possession for a meal, he must have had no restraint in other desires. He apparently lived only for the flesh. Now, there is considerable rabbinical teaching that developed much later and which condemns Esau's immorality. Biblical evidence for possible immorality comes from Genesis 26, verse 34, which states that he married two Hittite women, quote, "and they made life bitter for Isaac and Jacob." This tells us of some underlying craving in Esau. He was pleasure-oriented. The warning is to observe Esau and be different. Even though he regretted his foolishness, he could not get back his birthright, and that birthright, of course, was his inheritance. His father's blessing on Jacob could not be reversed. The lesson for us today is that some decisions cannot be reversed. What you sow, you will reap. The choice is ours. To follow Christ's example of faith and love, or to produce the works of the flesh. Now we move on to verses 18 through 24 of Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to the text. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers entreat that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given, quote, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. Throughout this epistle, we have observed comparisons presented by the author to his Hebrew readers, comparisons which Christians, who are not versed in the Old Testament and the practices of Judaism, might pass over lightly. In the section just read, we have another such comparison to teach us of the great difference between the giving of the law on Mount Sinai and the gracious call of the gospel which has brought us to the Father. The author's terrifying description, beginning at verse 18, comes from the second book of Moses, chapter 19 of the book of Exodus. Listen to the story, beginning with verse 12. The context deals with the people of Israel and Moses at Mount Sinai, and the Lord is speaking. In verse 12, he says, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Now, friends, this is a terrifying description. It was an experience that these people wished they had not gone through. I continue. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. Now, if you thought that the giving of the law at Mount Sinai was a Sunday school picnic, this text ought to change your mind. The people were terrified. Thunder and lightning, an earthquake. The whole mountain trembled, and there was this annoying loud trumpet blast. There was fire and smoke. That experience made an impression on Moses and the people when Moses repeated the law. As written in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he reminded them of that terrifying experience. He wrote in verse 22 of Deuteronomy 5, these are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness, and he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me. When you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, and all the leading men of your tribes and your elders came to me, and you said, "The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey." Now, what's the writer to the Hebrews trying to emphasize? Well, he's emphasizing the awfulness of the law. Now, the law was good, it was just, and it was holy. There was nothing wrong with the law. There was something wrong with the people. The weakness of the flesh kept them from ever obeying the law and kept others today also from obeying the law perfectly. No man other than Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. The writer wants to draw distinction between Christianity and Judaism. And of course, Judaism was ushered in with the law of Moses. All the rules, the statutes, the ordinances, the ceremonies, all came from the law given there. Now the writer is telling us, you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers entreat that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. And the order was that even if a beast touches that mountain, it should be stoned. The people were indeed frightened. It is not that way, however, when a person comes to God through Jesus Christ. God's word spoken through the Savior was gracious. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." One thing I have noticed about the New Testament is this. Every time an angel appeared to anyone, his first words were, "Fear not." He knew they would be terrified. That's the message of the gospel. Fear not. God is trying to give men something, and he's a gracious God. I want to thank our listeners who have complimented us on these teachings on the Epistle to the Hebrews. All of these teachings are available on cassette tapes. If you desire to purchase any of these tapes, write to the Radio Bible Course and ask for our pamphlet on teaching tapes. It'll tell you what's available and the prices. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.